District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32. By today's business leaders.
Hello, I'm Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. Today I'm here with Wayne Curtis from Notions Design. Wayne's got three tips for us: rebranding, logo tweaking, and applying the tweaked logo. Wayne, what inspired you to get involved in the design, graphic design business?
Well, firstly, it's good to be here today, Alan, and good to see you again. You're looking fit and strong.
I am. Thank you.
Awesome. I started off as a signwriter, believe it or not, and I just happened to be asked to do a logo for a company for one of our clients at the time. I was 15, and because I started when I was 14, and I did a good job, and the boss said, oh, you can do a few more of those. So, yeah, that's kind of how I got into design. When I became a tradie signwriter, I went straight into a diploma course and got into it that way. So it created, it sparked a passion in design from those early signwriting days.
What issues have you had building Notions Design? What challenges have you had?
I think I was kind of forced into it. I loved doing what I was doing, but the company that I was working for, an advertising agency many years ago, went into liquidation while I was holidaying in Europe with my wife. And I was, to be honest with you, a bit fed up with the whole industry anyway. I didn't like the advertising industry. It wasn't a really good fit for me. So I just decided to go out on my own. I'd already been doing a bit of work on the side for some clients, and I started that way. So it was kind of by accident, but kind of on purpose, if I could. It sounds better. But, you know, I didn't start it the right way. I didn't have a lot of contacts. It was really hard work. So I was freelancing most of the time. But I was always focused on pushing my business towards the design and the brand identity work, because that was really my passion. You know, as all small businesses start off and you don't have huge clientele, it's the whole idea of how to get in front of people, how to meet people. You tend to be a slave to your computer and you don't get out and meet people. And, you know, getting out and meeting people, something like District 32, if I had something like that, you know, 30 years ago, geez, it would have been a massive difference. It really would have been. So, yeah, the usual stuff, people not paying, cash flow, how do you stay creative and not stress all the time because the work's not coming in, and trying to get people to pay on time, the usual stuff, nothing different. But it didn't spoil my passion for creating a business my way. And I didn't want to create a business that was ruled by all the generics and everybody else doing the same thing and doing the same systems and doing this. I really wanted it to fit in with the type of life that I wanted. So I knew that early on. And I've gotten there most of the way. I'm pretty happy with where I am now. Because we specialize in the brand identity, I suppose, sphere of graphic design, I mean, we do all sorts of other stuff, but quite often clients come to us and they've pinpointed some issues with their business. They're working with other marketing businesses. It could be a web development company. You know, it could be an online marketing business. It comes to us in different ways. But one of the things that comes up is the idea that, you know, maybe your brand isn't quite right for your business. You know, whether they've bought into that business and it's been adopted from somebody else, whether it's been handed down to a family member and it doesn't really fit, you know, the new direction the company's taking. And I suppose the biggest issue there is, you know, how do we do this? What do we have to do? How do we go about it? And it's scary. There's a fear factor too, because of the cost, the financial investment in rebranding. Some businesses is extreme purely because of the size of the business and what that will entail. So probably my first tip is to actually sit down and know where you're going with the rebrand and what you're needing to do in an immediate, from an immediate perspective, because there's a lot of stuff that can be rolled out over time, and therefore it can be planned and budgeted, and it's not, you know, literally digging a hole in the ground and filling it up with wads of money just to get that done in the space of a couple of months. You know, that the cost can be horrendous and it's pretty scary, and it's quite off-putting for businesses. So planning it and knowing and giving yourself some kind of a time frame is always a very smart move when it comes to rebranding.
How do you know what the rebrand needs? How do you know?
if we're going to work with someone, part of what we do is we research the business. We try and get our heads around an understanding of what their presence is in the market, you know. And so that could be, you know, it could be a website, it could be many websites, it could be a whole fleet of vehicles, it could be many different shop locations. Their online presence could be huge, it could be social media, and also their actual printed marketing collateral that still exists, it still works. And some people have very little, some have a lot. If it's a product-based company where they're selling products, then the print-based material and marketing collateral can be quite large. So we get our heads around everything that's needed, and then we'll sit down with the client and work out a strategy in terms of what's essential right now, what's going to work with their budget and what they've got allocated, because this is not the only thing they're going to be doing, you know, because a lot of times they've come to us from somebody else that's recommended us. And those and that company obviously has some kind of input, and they're working with that company at the time too. So quite often what happens is their budget has been pushed and pulled all over the place, and they're trying to find money for this and money for that. So we're happy to sit down and try and work out something with them that's going to work for them, work within their budget and their spend over a short period of time, and then we space things out over a longer period so that it works and fits in with them.
What about colours?
Well, if it's a rebrand, changing the colour scheme may be detrimental
really?
To that business, okay. Yes. It really depends on their current market and also their position. What I mean by that is where they're going. You know, some people are sitting in the same position and dealing with the same types of clientele or the same industries, and they have been for the last 10 or 15 years. Some businesses are more dynamic and they're always flexing their muscle. They're looking at new markets and new entries into different parts of business, and so that they're not standing still in that regard, and so they have to be more flexible. For those companies, sometimes it does make sense to change the colour scheme, and the colour scheme has to work with again with their existing clients, so that we're not creating a disconnect with a change that's so massive that their existing clientele are thinking what's happening, and they're feeling disenfranchised with the business. But if they're also chasing new business, they're going overseas, we have to look at the implications for colour and different cultural meanings, yep. So that it's not detrimental to the business. And we want it to work and feel with the company in their movement forward. It's great to be looking at the past and where they've been and honouring that historically, but it has to work for where they're going now, where they are currently in the marketplace and what they're trying to achieve in the future. And sometimes that means, yes, we need to change this colour scheme because it's simply not right for their current target market.
Okay. Now, what are some of the main, say, two or three of the main reasons that people need to rebrand?
Well, if I touch on what I said earlier, sometimes it's literally a business that's been handed down to a son, yeah. Or another family member, and the way the old man did it and the way I want to do things is quite different. And so the person that's taking over the business wants to stamp their authority and their look and their feel. And quite often they said, no, I want a complete change. And I've been in the position where we've talked them out of a complete change because, as I said before, if it creates a disconnect with their current clientele, you don't want to be rebranding and losing the people that have been with you for so long. You want their loyalty still, but you also know that you want to impart some part of your personality onto the business.
Yep. So why would Qantas rebrand?
Qantas doesn't rebrand. Qantas tweaks. Tweaking is, and Qantas is a classic example. There's very slight changes to the typeface. They're modernising, you know, the kangaroo, the flying kangaroo. If you look at the history of changes, very subtle changes in curvature, but essentially it's the same brand. So they're not creating a disconnect with their clientele and who they are known for. They're staying loyal, and historically there's a very good, strong connection to the original Qantas logo to where it is now, but there's been subtle changes. And what that means to existing and people that are wanting to deal with them is that they're a forward-thinking, they're a dynamic company. They're changing, they're staying up with what's happening and market trends, and they don't look like they're stayed and buried in the past. They look like they're keeping up with technology and understanding their clientele, which is really important.
So staying current would be a very good reason.
Exactly right, staying current. But not not throwing it all out and starting again.
The old baby. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Absolutely. You got it right. Absolutely. Okay, so someone comes to us and they said, look, we want to freshen up our logo. We don't want to do a rebrand across everything. And we need to, but we're, you know, it's looking a bit tired and, you know, we've picked up some new clients, we've picked up some big contracts, and we just want to look like that we're staying relevant and, you know, we want to freshen up the colours, we don't want to change them completely. So it's almost like, you know, we just want a fresh set of makeup. You know, sort of thing. You know, the house needs another lick of paint, or the garden needs a new landscaping job done to it, whatever. The point is that quite often it actually can affect the culture within a business too, and it's a good way for the owners of the business to infuse the current workforce and the people and the sales staff with a freshen up, and it's a good way to implement new procedures and whatever. So there's lots of reasons around it. But it essentially is just staying relevant and modernising, but without having to completely redo everything.
So what is the cost of a logo tweak?
A logo tweak can be anything from 3 to 4 hours work to 20 to 30 hours work. It will depend on the business and the scope of work. Small businesses might want a logo tweak and it only affects a small amount of product, like business cards, a bit of stationery, maybe a brochure, you know, the website, their email banner, a few things like that. So it's not a horrendous cost for them. Businesses that have more information out there and they have maybe vehicles that are signed, obviously there's a bit more involved in that sort of thing. But again, we can plan that and work with the client. If it's a logo tweak and there's only subtle changes, it's not immediately obvious to everybody anyway, so it doesn't have to be in your face. It doesn't mean you have to change everything wholesale overnight. It just means that, okay, then look, and we've got new uniforms that need to be getting done at the end of the year. We'll slide in the new logo onto that. We'll get our immediate stationery done, whether that's just business cards and some electronic stuff. And we'll make sure that it's updated on the emails that go out and maybe on our invoicing, that sort of stuff, and the website. Yeah. So it's not a major change. And because it's a tweak and it's more subtle, it's not immediately obvious. But that's a way of introducing those changes. And it's more cost effective for the client. And you know what? It's less scary, because when you mention rebrand to some businesses, it's the first thing they're thinking is, oh my God, how much is this going to cost? This is a lot more, we can control it, and it's a lot more cost effective. And there's a lot less of the fear factor for the client.
A lot of businesses, small businesses, wouldn't even think about rebranding. Why should they?
I believe that the market in the last 5 years, especially in Perth, has become very dynamic. It's changing all the time. It's like a roller coaster ride. The way people now are marketing and talking to their client, their potential client, has changed. We all know the advent and how social media is going. Electronic media and how well that's working for businesses. There's a lot of businesses out there that still haven't really totally embraced it. They're scared of it. They're fearful. They're not sure how it works. Or they've had a bad experience with somebody that may be overcharged on a few items, and so they tend to push back. But the reason still is that because the market is dynamic, subtle changes to a business and looking like they've got their finger on the pulse does make a difference to consumer confidence. What you've got to remember is if you're trying to sell one product and there's 20 people out there that are interested in buying your product, there's no loyalty anymore. It's all about, what can you give me? How soon can you give it to me? How much is it going to cost? You know, and how quickly can I get it in my hands? And that type of thinking is permeating through all types of businesses. And so the buyer is on the edge and changing and flipping from one side to the other all the time. So I think it's important for a business to stay up with the times and to look like they're dynamic, and then to look like they're staying modern and they're staying relevant to that ever-changing market. And because of that instant fluctuation that seems to be occurring in and around that space, a business would do well to stay or keep their finger on the pulse in that regard. I mean, I've got a few businesses that we've been working with for 18 plus years, and these businesses have either done a logo tweak or a rebrand to some shape, some shape or form, 3 to 4 times in that time that I've been working with them. And these companies are turning over millions and millions of dollars, and some of these companies are literally just 2 or 3 men trade type businesses. But they also see the need to stay relevant. And a colour scheme that they chose with somebody else 2 or 3 years ago doesn't quite work for them now. Or it might be that that colour scheme is now being used by their biggest competitor and they want to have market contrast to them. They don't want to be seen. People going, oh, I keep thinking you're that other mob. You know, there's lots of reasons for change. And that's a classic example. There are plenty of copycats out there. So if you've established a good brand identity, there's always going to be someone that's willing to jump on your sort of coattails and see if they can get along for the ride. And they do that as a strategy. If that happens, then why not change it, mix it up. It'll certainly stuff them up. And you know, you're starting from fresh again. And again, it's reactive in that regard, but sometimes you have to be. If somebody's out there and they've got a strategy that is targeting you because you're the biggest in the market and they want to get in and around that space. And I've seen it, blatant copying of another business. I mean, their colour scheme, even the style of their logo, the style of their marketing. Yeah, it's rife. It really is.
That would be another reason to actually keep updating your logos and absolutely. Your colour schemes.
Absolutely.
But subtly.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen it. There's been examples of businesses that have done really well in different spaces, and then there's a whole heap of copycat businesses that are thinking, "Well, I'm going to get into this. So I can make money out of this too." And they'll start using a similar colour scheme. I've seen it. They've literally opened up a shop, 2 shops down from another one, in a unit of businesses. It's crazy, but it happens. And, you know, the business will say, well, look, well, we'll stuff these buggers. We're going to do something about it. So that's a perfect time to do a little bit of tweaking and changing the colour scheme and changing the way they do things. And look, the reality is there's no right and wrong way to do things. There's not always a right and wrong time. We get approached by clients and there's a myriad of reasons. The reality is we're here to help them and we give them tips and tricks along the way to help them spend their money wisely, and we're happy to work and collaborate with our clients so that they get the best results. That's the biggest thing when all this comes down to it, is that I'm not going to sell and sit there and twist a client's arm into doing something that I think is not going to work for their business. I'd rather walk away. There's plenty of business out there for me, and some people want to change for the wrong reasons, and if I think that's the case, I'll say so, and I have done many a time. I just don't think it's good for them. I don't think it's going to be good for their clients, and I think that it's going to cause them more trouble than good, and they should seriously think about it. Hey, they don't always listen, but that's the way
choice.
It goes. Exactly.
It's
their choice.
It's all about
yes.
choice.
Yes. I'm sure most small businesses have experienced sending their logo file to an embroiderer or a printer or someone, and they say, oh, look, have you got anything of better quality? Or do you have anything better than that? Or, you know, that's not going to do.
Quality, they're talking about the actual design of the logo.
No, they're talking about the file type and the way the logo has been produced. In other words, a pixelated image like a JPEG or a TIFF or a PNG file, you can't expand or enlarge them without losing quality. Whereas a vector-based file that we always... Look, 99% of our work is created in Illustrator, so it's vectorized, so it can be scaled up and down. There's a lot of work we do for clients. It not only goes on their stationery in brochures on web, it gets plastered on the side of vehicles, yep. You know, on the side of buildings. So the quality has to be scalable. So that's what I mean.
You actually scale it. You can scale it without any loss of quality.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when we do any type of branding project for our clients, they'll get a complete logo suite. And that means the logo and the style guide breaks it down into CMYK process printing, RGB for online stuff, mono as well, because a lot of people are doing simple screen printing on product. And all shirts.
Is that the logo monochrome?
Yeah, no, so basically black or white, so it can be reversed out of a dark colour and slapped onto images or whatever. And all of these are done as a vector-based product. So you get an Illustrator file plus an EPS file. You'll get PNG transparency files, JPEGs, PDFs. And that full suite can be used by pretty much anyone. So you'll end up getting quite a few files, you know, as part of it. But look, you've got the scope there to give it to your printer, your web person, your sign writer, your screen printer, your embroiderer, and no one will be asking you for better quality images. It's all there. And if they do, then you probably shouldn't be using them, because then they don't know what they're doing, because all the information is supplied in the style guide, the colour schemes, the fonts, everything is there. And then that way it helps ensure that the money that you've spent on creating your brand identity is adhered to across a myriad of different types of marketing collateral. Most work these days when you're wrapping a vehicle, again, we're working on a few at the moment for some of our clients, and we prefer still to give vectorized artwork. And we do that so that the client then, especially the sign company, can enlarge it and move it and shape it and put it over different vehicles. Whereas if you've got a fixed pixel type product like a JPEG, and then you give it to them and they've got to scale it up, the quality deteriorates very quickly.
Very rapidly.
Yes. And it can look terrible. It really can. And it's no different by, you know, when someone says, I've given you my logo, and then all they've done is they've taken it off their website, which is, as you know, very, very low quality, normally 72 DPI and small. Yep. So when you scale that up, the output is atrocious. So we won't deal with that. And a lot of times a client will give us something. We're doing a brochure or doing you know, some kind of marketing collateral for them, and we haven't designed their logo, and they give us a JPEG and say, look, that's all we've got. I say, well, okay, we're just going to digitise this for you. You know, for a small amount of money, we'll give you a complete brand new logo file suite based on your existing. We're not going to change anything. We're just literally going to, and then you can use that moving forward for all the stuff that you're going to use, and you won't have any loss of quality. And you know, we do that because we don't work with inferior product, because it looks bad on what we're producing. So yeah, look, there's lots of ways that we can help our clients, and we've just done that literally for a client at the moment that needed a whole heap of banner and signage work, and all they had was a pretty small, crappy JPEG that had been resaved and resaved and resaved a dozen times. So it was terrible. We redrew the logo. We set them up with all their logo files, and then we were able to produce what we needed to do of high quality, and we gifted them a complete logo file suite that they now can use with everyone, their embroiderer, their web company, everyone. And, yeah, it's all fun and games.
Yeah. It is, and the quality of the images is very, very important. Wayne, thank you very much for joining us today on District 32 Business Radio. It's been great chatting with you.
Thanks, mate.
And I'm sure we'll have another chat about branding and...
Yeah.
I'd like to talk to you about the psychology of branding and the psychology of colours.
I would love to talk to you about that too. I like to try and keep it real. I try and speak plain speak when I'm talking about what I do, because some people sell and talk about the same sort of thing but in a lot more of a technical fashion, and I think that doesn't really help anyone. So I would absolutely love to do that, Alan, but let's keep it real.
Let's keep it real.
Thanks, mate.
Good on you. Thank you, and we'll speak again soon.
Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio, Business Experts, throughout the hour on District 32, the power of connection.